Okay, good evening. Perklamet Gimel, that's for Lag BaOmer, you see, we it really is al pi hashgacha. Da, ki haschola b'zois hachochma zekis me'oid, it's a leima hachochma loikis. So the first step into any of this is something that can harm a person. It means, I assume, if the person is not prepared for it, or it's something that is going to create difficulties in a person. And the explanation of different inyanim nevuah as a mashal, and the metaphors that are used in different stories, which Sifrei Nevi'im are full of them. So the whole process of taking somebody from understanding the stories as simply as a child does to moving forward the way an adult would understand it in terms of a metaphor and a mashal and so on is difficult. Aval, tzorech lachanoich haktanim liyashiv kitzat tfunik fishagosam. You do have a chiyuv to teach the children and to move them forward. It's something which he says it later in another perek, that in certain areas, even if the children have a hard time, you can't let a child be an apikoros. So despite the fact that there is some potential danger, it's still something which you need to be mechanech the ktanim. And somebody who seems to have a more shlemus take a seichel and ready for this madrega, but so the leima madrega so iyun hamoifsi by roas asiris amitius, the thinking in something with proofs and concepts and so on, yalu me atmat atchegil shimuso, you slowly bring it towards the shlemus, imim oyer sheireya omatzma, either from an outsider who brings him into this, or yourself, if you're capable. Omnam, he says, kishiyaschil b'zois hachochma loikis. When a person starts getting into this chochma loikis, lo yischadish lo bilbul levad be'emunos. It's not only going to be a bilbul in emunos, al bitl gomen. In some ways, he was used to Hashem having a hand and a nose and so on, and this is something which sort of is no, it's none of that. The ena mashal be etzli ela kimisha yozin hanar hayoinek belechem achita v'abasa shiyas hayayin shiyimisei v'lo yisafik. He said, if I can give a mashal for it, imagine taking a nursing child and stuffing him with bread and wine and meat. Lo yisha ela mezenis royim built it in lotim. The reason why it will kill him is not because there's something wrong with meat or bread or whatever it is, because you have no kalim to digest it with. So all of these deos amitis I'm going to speak about, all these amitios, the reason why these things were hidden and the reason why these things were not expressed outright, why they were sort of given in very veiled terms, is not because these things are be'etzem bad or things that are kenegedis at Torah. The reason why they gave it over in such a veiled fashion is because it's hard to digest. It's not something that is easy for someone who's not developed to digest. This is one of the things. I mean, it's one of the favorite targets of the kind of academia. Whenever Devin Ezra, for instance, makes a veiled remark about a sod, the sod or whatever veiled remark, they usually interpret means that he was a closet Epicurus, afraid of the rabbinical authorities, and he's hinting that, you know, but if you really get it, you all know, you know, this is not right, or this is whatever it is. That's a favorite piece to always keep looking, and the same thing with the Rambam or Nevuchim. It's like the Rambam really believed what a contemporary free thinker would believe, but you know, he didn't want to get the wrath of the rabbis, so he sort of veiled it, this and that. But those all these illusions about secrets and here and there. But Rambam says it as clear as it can be. The world of Sayyid is because its potential for being misunderstood. And therefore, it will take away a person's emunah because he doesn't have the kalim to cope with it. So any part of Torah that's called Seudas and Sister Torah, and this is true, this part is true with Kabbalah as well. The reason why Kabbalah is given Beseudo, Beseser, and all of that is because if a person does not have a sophisticated brain and he learns Kinyan of Kabbalah, he will become a really from Apikiris. There will be this, that, Jager, that you misspelled as their unpin, and you this, that, and everything that says there. I mean, the entire vocabulary of Kabbalah is physical, and if a person doesn't have what it takes to be able to conceptualize, the person is getting a his emunah is becoming closer to of the kachavim than to he's not getting a higher emunah, he's getting a lower emunah. So the world, the Seud and the Sister Torah is because it's not understood by someone who does not have a developed mind and seichel. V'zoisi asibra shedibra tegelash me'adam, k'moy shebi'anu. He explained before, and I explained other places, dibra tegelash me'adam means the language used is the language appropriate for your average man, something that a human being can innately understand. L'yoyse mu'chenes la'haskel bo v'lumo yisem v'na'orim v'anashim v'chol ha'om. The Torah has a vocabulary that fits everyone, even people that do not have any sophisticated avana. For lezeh, he speak up imay ma kabbalah uchal inen shamanosu nifcheres ubechol tzior mashayasha secha mitzusoy loy alamitas mehusoy. So when we speak about Gehenim, you know, the Torah gives us over a language that we'll get right what is, instead of understanding what its essence is. So when I speak of Gan Eden, and I talk about trees and brooks and flowers and who knows what else, the message you're getting is it's very, very pleasant and tranquil. That's a correct message. The idea that there's flowers and there's trees and there's and whatever there is, that's nonsense. So it's a world of not physical world, but the message is the right message. And the marshal I gave last time when he mentioned Dirut HaShad is if a child has an experience, you have a four-year-old who's really very adventurous and he's burnt himself once with fire. So now he knows when you say fire, he knows exactly to run. And let's say he's standing dangerously at the edge of a lake and you want to warn him not to go in. Should you say fire or water? So if you want to be technically right, you'll say water. If you want to keep the kid out of the water and you want to keep him safe, you'll say fire, because fire gives over the message that you want to give over, even though on technical grounds, it's not accurate. When a person has become more shlemistic and understands Sister Torah, either people taught him and showed him, or he himself by beginning to compare different parts begins to understand it. He will believe in these things with the tools, with the pathways that you are supposed to use to believe it. In b'mofes, if it's with proofs, b'mashav mofes, in those areas that proofs are possible. By b'tainas hachazakis, or convincing, compelling arguments, mashav shabayzeh. You know, some things have proofs, some things have compelling arguments. And so too, those things that were just physical objects, he's going to begin to appreciate the content. He's going to begin to appreciate what the nimshel is as he gets older. So when the Torah gave us used vocabulary for all sorts of things, the vocabulary the Torah used has two aspects to it. There is the way in which it affects us reading it straightforward, you know, and we speak about Charoi Naf of Hashem, and we picture it's terrible, and there's going to be fury and anger and repercussions. That's a part. That's an appropriate. That's an appropriate sense of it. And then when we get older, more sophisticated, more understanding, we understand why Af and why Charoi Naf, and what exactly is it too. So the language of the Torah in itself has both elements. It has an emes, it conveys mitzad, the story the way it's written, and that's the divrei Torah lashon adam aspect. It also has the appropriate connection to that which is deeper and allows you to correctly begin to understand the deeper part of it. Now, this is one of the reasons why, for instance, you'll have agaritas, and the pirush al derech hapshat, including all the nuances of the lumdus, like the mashal will do, or Tosfos will ask a kashin derech hapshat, and so on. That is correct. It's meant to be that way because I'm supposed to be able to read it the way it is and get something out of it. So understanding all the details as they are in pshuto shel mikra is important. Useful. And then when a person becomes advanced and is able to be aimed on the nimshel, those different elements are now explained in a different way. So it's not either or. Well, why is the mashal wasting his time explaining the mashal when it's just a mashal? The answer is it's not just a mashal. It's actually a two-sided or multifaceted explanation. It stands well on pshat, in a very ordinary level, and it also contains in itself leads to something much deeper. And each one of them is a Torah Shlema to understand what's the mashal, to understand what the nimshal. The mashal is valuable in its own right, and it you know, it gives us a different musa and techacha and whatever it is that we need, and it also has the element of depth to it, which then you dash it a whole different way. But both of them stand correct. Ukva niska b'pamram amareinu amram v'loy b'merkava b'yachid ala imkeinu yechacham u'mevim medaiter. So he's spoken about this chazal that you don't dash ma'isim merkava b'yachid v'oz moysin le rashi prakim, and then you give him over only rashi prakim. U'bavurze ein sarach lahaslim adam b'zeh ha'inyan ela kishir sichloi. So the introduction to this learning, to this type of learning that he's talking about, requires that we do it gradually and in commensurate to what the person could understand. And two conditions. Echad mema yoyse chacham, kloyma she'olo b'yodo ha'chachmes, she'elokim ha'kdomen se'iyon. One, that he has enough basic yediyas that he can use them to build his in with. Somebody who has a very fine sense, very discerning sense of being able to pick up on nuances and little remuzim here and there. Now, just want to go back to a second. The Rambam is very, very big, and he says it in the next parak, many other prakim. Since the Rambam's understanding of Sod is a very, it sort of overlaps with philosophy, or it uses the language and ideas of philosophy. So knowing a lot of basic philosophical axioms, which, or Aristotelian in his world, are very important. Later on, he gives a long list of what he calls hakdamas nechutzos. In other words, pieces, just like when you're doing geometry, you memorize postulates because you can't work without that. Those are your basic building blocks, and you use them to prove that this line is parallel to this line. I am going to use this postulate, this postulate, this postulate, and QED, therefore this and this. Same thing in philosophical reasoning. This is the Rambam's understanding and Shita and so on, has philosophical axioms, and you must, that's the vocabulary with which you can understand anything deeper. So Chacham means you have the requisite pre-knowledge, and Maven Daito is an intuitive sense of how to apply it. You have to be able to, when you're analyzing somebody's words, you have to be able to have a sensitivity to understanding what could be in those words. Vehine says, I will tell you the reasons why people do not learn more deeply. So in this parak, he is going to explain what are the difficulties, what is it that a person that prevents people from getting into this chachma, and why it is that one ought not to unless he's ready, and then you'll get a sense of what's necessary in order to get into it. Perek Lamed Dalet. Hasibas ha'amoynes liftoach ha'limud ba'loikis lohoyal mashor lohoyalov v'laharis la'amoyn chamei sibas. There are five major reasons why you can't teach these things to people. Just straight out, like to teach the what he calls sod, what he calls the... Hasibas shayin. The first one is k'shei ha'inyan ba'atzen akuzomte. The fact that these elements are extremely delicate, they're very conceptual, they're very fine. Oma rochik mashayva oma komik minseno. Venema vachokh mayin timotze. Vein roish eschilu belimud bekosh of omek lahavin. And it's very hard that a person should start with the hard things to learn the hard things. So all these inyanim of sisertai and sotai are generally difficult topics. And therefore, a person should start with an easier, it's like when you're training, you start with an easier weight. You don't start with a heavy weight. One of the most common mishalim for chachma is water. And they explained why water has many properties. It runs from high to low, etc., etc. Michlolom, one of those is kashayeda lischos yitzu pnimi mekarkayam. A person knows how to swim will fetch pearls from the yam. Umisha yiskol aschia, and somebody who doesn't know how to swim, yitzel, is going to drown. I'm not sure. I don't know where the Gemara. To the best of my knowledge, there's no Gemara in that way, but the Rambam says own understanding that one of the ways in which the Talmud is called the Yamshel Talmud, and therefore a person can either extract great wealth or drown in it. So the Moshel Tomayim is expressing how difficult of a trip it is. So the material is genuinely difficult to understand and to learn. Asiba Shenis, the second one is Kitsudeis Hanoshim Kulam Bishilusam. That even though the human mind is built to understand, and we have minds that can understand abstract and conceptual material, but not from the get-go. Our mind starts by understanding concrete objects. You watch a child learn. The curve goes from the most concrete So he touches things, he pushes things, he sees things, and his world is full of things. And it's only with a lot of development that you begin to understand ideas. So a person's mind in the get-go is not conceptual. And even an adult who hasn't been trained to think more conceptually is still stuck with things rather than ideas. Avla shleimus boi bekoyach. Human perfection is their potential. So when we speak about the greatness of Tzuras Adam, we're talking about a potential, not about an actual. V'hu b'tchilose neda poilahu. V'aya per adim v'olet. And in the beginning, he doesn't have this. Like it says, a person is born like a wild donkey. In other words, very crude, very crass. V'ein kol ish sheyesh lo dove echad b'koyach roye b'chreyach hezakoch lo poil. And it doesn't mean automatically, just because a person has potential, a talent, doesn't mean that he'll ever realize it. Everyone has a potential to understand, but it's not automatic that when you become 20, you become this very, very smart and deep person. A person can remain not having realized this, the mental potential. Im lemoinim, either because something actually stopped it, im lemiut limashetz avel apoel, or he didn't do enough exercise. So a person has muscle mass that could lift X amount of weights, but if a person spent all his life in a couch sitting somewhere, it's not going to really develop itself. And like it says in Pasuk, Leirabim Yechkimu, Ba'omrazal Ra'isi Bnei Aliyah Ve'Ma'otim, Ke'amoinim in Ashleimus Ha'rabim Ve'Matriyim Menem Rubim. There's much that prevents a person from Shleimus. A person has many, many business. He's busy, he's tarot, and he doesn't seem to find the time and the presence of mind necessary to bring out all these things. So the first one is the fact that we're talking about very difficult things. The second one is that the human ability to understand it develops over time. It's not immediate. And so even just having that right seichel to be able to grasp things takes time. Vasiba shlishis, the third thing, oirech ha'atzo'os. How many hakdomas you need to have to know it. Let's take a simple example. Let's take something very physical. Explain to me how a computer works. Now, a computer works in a very mechanical way. Every single piece, there's no deep chachma that's abstract. But I need to know 1,000 pieces of knowledge for it. I need to understand electric circuit. I need to understand how we can build different types of circuits. I need to understand how information is in bits. I need to understand this, that. So there's no piece here that's an Einstein, like a new idea, a new way of looking at something. But in order for me to understand how a computer works, I need to know, let's pick a number, 1,000 piece information. The human mind doesn't deal well with bringing a lot of information in. It's one of the things where an inexperienced Maggid Shir gets the following issue. He'll have a shtickle Torah inyan, and he will be baffled as to why the Talmid don't understand it. It's not a terribly deep shtickle Torah, and A is simple, B is simple, C is simple, D is simple, E is simple, F is simple. So he's heard 8,000 times, he's heard B 1,000 times, he's heard C 1,000 times. His only chiddush is from E to F, and it's not a terribly big chiddush, so it's great. The mind has no problem with it. But for the poor Talmud who's getting 1,000 bits of information, or even 5 bits of new information, or 10 bits of new information, it's mind-boggling. It doesn't, well, it's very simple. What don't you understand? It's not just understand it, but the ability to put it into his automatic part of his brain, where you know, it's a muscle. You know, we'll give a person a simple picture. No, like, explain what's wrong with this picture. So if it relates to the environment I live in, I have 10,000 pieces of information stored. In the daytime, nobody uses a flashlight. In bright sunlight, nobody has an umbrella. Notice that. So as soon as I see a picture, snap, I know what's wrong with it. But let's say I'm talking about a different culture. I'm talking about Ghana. And somebody has to give me 1,000 pieces of information about Ghana. None of the information is terribly, terribly difficult, but just assimilating it, making it part of my automatic processing is takes a long time. So thinking philosophically requires a lot of axioms. And he says, people like bottom line. So for all the people that said that this is because of modern technology, maybe that modern technology around these days, but the Rama makes a point of it that people like bottom lines and not thinking the process. And many times it becomes very difficult to have all of these axioms presented. Vida she'ilu hoya adam magia el achas matachas built out sasagibus. If you wouldn't need all this introductory material, all these axioms to get to the point, lehoyatzos, then they wouldn't be there. Aval hoya trodeis umaisen gemurim, and they would be really useless, extra. V'chol ish afil apesish about noshim kishtireya k'mashmir yoshem v'toyim aloi. Any person, even the foolish, most foolish person, if you wake him up and say, don't you want to know how many layers of heaven there are and how many planets? So if you ask anybody, wouldn't you like to know the answer to all this? They'll say, yeah, of course, I'd love to know it. And really, people like to know this stuff. They would like to have like a 3-second clip to be able to just, if you could tell it to me in 3 words, and that's why people are enamored with slogans and hate reasonable explanations. So Make America Great is fantastic. He understands exactly what's wrong with America. It's not great anymore, and he knows how to fix it by Make America Great Again. So he took what many, many thousands of people have been thinking about and was able to do it in 3 words. That doesn't require much pre-thinking. It might even be harmful to think before too much and just sort of puts it into the 3 words. But if you told him, you know what, take a week and you're going to have to learn some prerequisite stuff for it. Lo yas, that you don't do. So he'll just have some foolish fantasies. Nobody wants things that requires a lot of introductory material. They want things that are short and so on. I think I was told, I don't know if I told over the Kloisenberger Rebbe. He was a goyin olam, and he also had a very folksy side. He could speak in the equivalent of a southern drawl, and very folksy. So I was there in Eretz Yisrael when he opened up his first Shas Kollel. This is going back. I don't know. This is who knows how many years ago, 40 years ago, and it was on a summer. It was a summer week, and he spoke. So he said the following. I'm not going to do the drawl, but it was very pleasant to listen to. He said, I call in a young bach in Shiva Yisrael, and I asked him, Sruli, do you have Mesiris Nefesh for Torah? So he says, yeah, Rebbe. He has Mesiris Nefesh for Torah, a lot of Mesiris Nefesh. He says, so let me ask you the following. Let me pose the following challenge. I have a surgeon who makes this terribly dangerous operation where you open up the brain and insert a little shas into the brain. Are you willing to do it? Yeah, Rebbe. It's Mesiris Nefesh. But I told him it's not a push operation. It's dangerous. And that Rebbe, I'm Mesiris Nefesh. So I tell him, so I've got great news for you. No operation, no surgeon, no danger. You come to my koilo, you learn well, I pay you extremely well, and in 10 years you have a little shas in your head. No, that is not mukhan to do. It's a dangerous operation, the sakanas of fashas, that he is mukhan to do. But to sit and to get paid well and to learn flasik and this and that, that is not muchen to do. Like he's sort of, it was like cute. You have to have known the, but Akapanim, that's what Rama says. What stifles our intellectual curiosity is not that we're innately not curious, but to really know answers, you need to have a lot of buildup of information beforehand. And people don't want to give it the time and the effort, and they just like to just get, you know, either it's done very quickly or it's not going to happen. Okay, so we'll hold it here by Ve'ati Yadei over here. And, okay, and any questions, points? Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, Alex.
What are the Sisrei Torah that people are kind of into nowadays? Why are we more able nowadays to kind of be more abstract or understand these things? Or maybe we're not, and we're not really, people are not attracted to the real Sisrei Torah. Is it something else?
I think your second half, I think most people, you ask yourself, if this person is not a terribly fine thinker, then how well does he do conceptualizing? So there's a certain amount of vocabulary. My feeling is the vocabulary that the Olam HaChassidus brought and made public, either because they did it, or the Seater Shmaya was the time for the Gully, that has become more or less current, kind of, as Chesed, as this, as that. But when you start speaking, let's take an example. The thrust of the understandings that I got from the people I learned from, not, didn't teach Kabbalah, but Moshe Shapiro, Rabbi Weintraub, Rav Hutner, their point in learning these inyanim was to come up with a very deep understanding of things. Many people look for Kabbalah as schoolers. So I'll pick Kabbalah, you eat apples, I'll pick Kabbalah, you eat honey, I'll pick Kabbalah, you do this, I'll pick Kabbalah, that. Anytime there's some, I hate to say this, there was a boy, Nachshon Waxman, who was killed. He was a neighbor of mine, and many years ago, he was kidnapped by terrorists, he was a soldier, and he was killed. His father, Yehuda Waxman, and Yitzhak Refuah Shleimah, was a neighbor, they were neighbors now, Zabira. Maybe they just moved away at that time. And very tragic. And, you know, the 3, 4, 5 days when there was a Masa Matan, they thought they knew where he was, and they tried to break through, and he was killed, and that was it. He was from person. Yehuda Waxman was a from person, you know, Mizrahi, from. And, you know, the amount of Menachmim was incredible. But somebody started talking about the court. He took a stack this thick of papers that all sorts of Mekobolim had sent in, drawing maps exactly where he is. All up his spheres, up his Kabbalah, up his this, up his that. And it was all rubbish. He was in a building a mile away from the house. He was an East Jerusalem, basically. And everyone had him in Aza. You count this way, you count 10 steps that way, you do this and that. But forget about the nonsense. But their mindset was that that's what Kabbalah is for. It's a way in which to get some, you know, it's a way to run the world. That's what it's about. So that's, I would say that's a terrible use of it. There was an old Yid, very chashva, Adam chashva, Rabbi Yosef Liss, Altamira. He lived in America, he was the man, he lived in America for years, then he lived in Bnei Brak for the rest of his life. He was a very chashva Talmud Chacham. He also had a very cute way of saying things. He was a big Yerei Shemayim. So he once said, he had a mashal. He said, somebody came into a shul, and the guy looked like a balagola, big, gruff, you know, the whole thing. And he barks to the shamish to come over to bring him a sefer. In those days, forum were Yikar Metzias, and you had to ask for the shamish to bring you one. You know, you had to get it. So the shamish takes a look at him, and he brings him a little tilum. Got very angry. He says, "No, I want a Gemara." Okay, I don't know, but he brings him a Gemara. So it's one of those thin Gemaras, just Gemara Rashi Taisis. He says, "No, what do you? I mean, I want those big, thick Gemaras with everything in the back." Kitza, he brings him a Bava Basra, and he says, "And I want another one." And finally, 3, 4 Gemaras. And the shamans are like saying, wow, did I make a mistake in this one? Look at this guy. I mean, he wants babasa with ksubas with this. And finally, when he brought it through for Gemaras, he grunted, okay. He put Gemaras one on top of the other. Then he climbed on top of the highest Gemara and he reached to the high shelf. He had hidden a cheese over there with a bread and he brought it down. So as I said, sometimes a person piles on a lot of sfarim because he needs to reach up for the cheese and the bread that he hid on the top shelf. So you ask yourself, a person is learning this chachma because the mekubalim can cure this, the mekubalim can tell you this, give all that. I don't know. You know, I see that as a terrible, terrible issue. It's not because my mechutna, I have a mechutna, Moshe Friedman, who he's a descendant of some Seif, he's Abelander, and he loves debunking minhagim and stuff like that. That's his. He learns. He's in the Kollel by Reb Shlomo Miller. He does. He's an interesting person, Yaakov's father-in-law. So every day he sends out emails with all sorts of things. Yesterday or today, for the COVID Lag Boima, he sent an email from a sefer called Tal Yerushalayim about the Nisim Neflos of Reb Shem Eichoy. So one of them was they came there with a child. The child collapsed and died. She threw him on the cave of Shem Eichoy, and lo and behold, Tchias HaMeisim. That was one story. Another story, and all it was that there were the men used to dance and women used to dance by the Hilula, and a lamdan got up and said, women are out of dancing, they stopped dancing. And then he had a dream from Shem Eichoy that I had such simcha with the women dancing at my keva, and you stopped it, so you're going to die. So he said, if you believe these two stories, I have a third one for you. And then it's Seichel Su the Minig of Chai Rotl. That same Sefer has these two Maisim, and then Chai Rotl as the Lemaisa from all the... But I don't know. So is this Achshe Dor? It means the Dor has become more enamored with Kabbalah, or does it mean that they've brought it down to the level of... There was a woman in the Breslovers have a minig that everybody should say Tikkun Zoyar over Elul. So I didn't know the minig, but I walked into a kiosk near the Mishiva, this little kiosk, owned by a simple Breslov couple, very nice people. The lady was sitting there. I doubt that the lady had much of a education past who knows what, and she was sitting reading Tikkun Zoyar. And so for a minute, I was kind of shocked. I didn't know what it was. And I asked somebody, what's this? He said, don't you know, it's a breast of a thing. It's a beginning to say, I don't know. So I'm a little bit suspect about how much how far we've gone in becoming more conceptual.
Okay. I think of like the popularity of the Maharal's Torah, and is that not more,
that correct,
not so more popular now?
Yeah. So the Maharal's Torah does appeal to that. And it could be the fact that even the world round, you know, concepts and conceptualization, abstraction is more. Could be. It says in the Zohar that in Shnas Tov Reish for Elv Chamishi, the Tari Chachma, the Shari Chachma will open up, and it sort of dovetails with the list 200 years ago. Could be. I know it could be. It's a change, and it's something that I see more because it's less. It has less frills. The morale has less exciting stuff, and a lot. And it's conceptualization. So it's very possible. I mean, till this generation, nobody looked at the morale. The morale was never reprinted. The Gevurah Hashem was reprinted, I believe, but the other sfarim were printed once, and that was it. Nobody cared for it. And it was really the last 100 years. I mean, the Polish Chassidus, the Sfas Emes, that genre, they use Gevurah Hashem and the Sivus Olam, those are forms that they looked at. But the rest of it wasn't. And it really was Rev Hutner, Rev Cook, and maybe his people, Rav Shapiro, they were the ones who really, Rav Dessler didn't quote it as much as he used the ideas and the approaches to make it much more, people began to think that way. Those became the ideas that became current. Maybe. Okay. Good Shabbos.
Good job, thank you.